Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Five oh four, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and for me, it's kind of sort of Friday as well. I will not be here tomorrow. I remind you, it is Yom Kippur, or if I want to get, real pronunciation, Yom Kippur. But I don't know. It's always been Yom Kippur for me. That's just the way I grew up hearing my parents and the other folks in the community say it, so that's what I say. And I don't know, maybe there's a renewed interest and dedication and better pronunciation and knowledge of Ivrit, Hebrew, for people who are saying Yom Kippur. It is the Day of Atonement. And I always take the opportunity, because I think it's a fascinating opportunity, when I share with people that I'm going to be out for a Jewish holiday, right? Almost 10 days ago would have been Rosh Hashanah, right? Jewish New Year. And it's not just the Jewish New Year, because inside Judaism, we got a whole bunch of different New Years. Don't ask me. I haven't been able to figure out, but we do. But the big one is Rosh Hashanah. And then we wind up these, what we call the 10 days of awe, with Yom Kippur. And the thought process is, the way that we deal with this, is that on Rosh Hashanah, the Book of Life is opened. And for the next 10 days, God's kind of looking at you. You're there. You got to get up to the plate. And hopefully you are inscribed for another year in the Book of Life. And then on Yom Kippur, the conclusion of that, the Book of Life is closed. And, you know, if you made the cut, great. We can make plans of the future. If not, not going to be the best year for you. But I always use that opportunity when people say to me, "Oh, Jeff, you know, I'm a Christian, whatever the denomination is, but I don't know anything about those Jewish holidays." And I'm thinking, but you need to, right? Because those Jewish holidays, like Yom Kippur, that's what Jesus observed. That's what Jesus celebrated. To me, it's just a great opportunity to learn a little something. So that's all. Okay, so I feel better about sharing that. Now, we go from the faith-filled and the hopeful to the world of politics and what the heck is going on. Our buddy Brian Maloney, who is just one of the best analysts when it comes to the political world. He's not just an analyst. I mean, he's somebody who's run campaigns and efforts to change things and make things better, and we've just been very fortunate to get him on our program here on a regular basis to talk about this. Brian, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, so what a great segue. You go from talking about God to the godless world of politics.
Yes, exactly.
The demonic world of politics. I mean, it's like it couldn't be more black and white, could it?
It could not. It is 180 degrees, my friend. So let's take a couple of moments and mire in the muck, because is it just me, or is Kamala Harris just not up to this or any other job? Because she just keeps striking. I don't want to say she's stupid, because I feel bad about saying that. But man, she is not the brightest bulb on the porch.
Well, she's in way over her head.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally we would all be celebrating that and, you know, celebrating our victory.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The problem is, you know, is this not relevant because the fix is in? I mean, do they have this thing pre-rigged? You know, the problem there, though, if we talk about that too much, some people start getting discouraged and say, why bother voting or whatever? And we have to have 100% turnout. They will have 110% turnout.
That's right.
So, you know, we have to have everybody there, because we know they pad the ballot box. We know that. We know they'll do it again in the same places. But we can't let that stop us, because then they really win, you know? I mean, they not only cheat, but they lock us out. We're locking ourselves out. We can't do that. We need to be active.
Okay, so the first part, and you're absolutely right, there is this depression that comes along for many people that says, well, come on, they're going to cheat. It's rigged to begin with, so why bother? And we have to convince people that they've got to vote.
Well, and that's exactly right. And, you know, the thing is right now that, I mean, you know, the Virginia, the presidential race in Virginia is in play. I'm watching these polls,
yep,
and it is a single-digit race right now. Some polls are showing it just a few points. So, I mean, if every one of your listeners, Jeff, turned out, if you had 100% Jeff Katz show, you know, turnout, I mean, you could... you know, you could change the world. You really could, because winning Virginia would completely change the landscape on November 5th. It would be, it would be the icing on the cake. I think it is so incredibly important. People had sort of written off Virginia like it's, oh, that's a blue state now. And I don't believe that. I really don't.
Right.
And, you know, so that's incredibly important. And I've been trying to rile people up about some of these Senate races.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm trying to do a billboard campaign in Ohio for Bernie Marino, who is running for U.S. Senate. He's the Trump-endorsed Republican. And if he beats Sherrod Brown, who is the Democrat incumbent U.S. Senator from Ohio, we can retake the U.S. Senate and get, you know, send Chuck Schumer packing.
Yeah.
We can send Nancy Pelosi packing. You know, we can get rid of these people.
Yeah.
All we got to do is get active.
Well, you're talking about Ohio. I just saw the numbers the other day. It certainly looks like Bernie Moreno is well within striking distance. Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, it's a 2-point race.
Yeah. Tell me about Wisconsin, because here, what's her name is supposed to be a shoo-in, right? It's all supposed to be done.
Right.
And
well,
Kamala Harris is doing so badly in Wisconsin that the incumbent Democrat senator's going, what the hell?
Well, that's exactly right. And the same thing's going on in Michigan.
Right.
And the Democrat running for U.S. Senate in Michigan is a former CIA agent who is a is a maniac, basically, who plays extreme hardball. And I thought that, you know, she'd be a shoo-in with her nasty tactics and everything else. And what it looks like is, you know, Kamala is not only weak at the top, but she's a drag for the rest of them. And then you mentioned these states, you know, Michigan. I don't know if you saw this video clip going around today of Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who is a weirdo, but she's feeding a woman a Dorito or something, and then looking at the kid. You have to see it. I'm going to be putting that clip up on my page, facebook.com/mediaequalizer. I'm going to do that after this interview, but for anybody that hasn't seen it yet. But I mean, what is that about? They're just, you know, they call us weird, Jeff. They call us weird.
Yep.
And then they're weird, you know, 100 times over. That was the strangest way to attack a candidate I've ever seen from Democrats. They were always proud to be weird, and now we're weird. I don't know what that means anymore. What does it mean to be weird?
It's a great question, Brian. I wish I knew. I guess if you love your country and you want good things for your country and you want your kids to be safe and secure, that makes you weird. And if that's the case, then I'll happily be weird. I don't know about you. I think you're in, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So the question now, Jeff, is between now and Election Day, you know, there's still there's always this talk about October surprises or whatever, you know, so what do they have? You know, I mean, what are they're talking about it like they've got something. I'm thinking, what do you have that you haven't used against Trump in the last 10 years, right? You know, what's left? You've thrown everything at him and nothing sticks. You know, he comes out stronger from all of your smears, all of your attacks.
Yep.
So what now?
Well, let me ask you, because you're the brilliant guy who's done all this for a million years. What now? What could they possibly have up their weird little sleeves?
I don't think an attack on Trump will work anymore. I think he's completely immunized against them.
Yep.
So I don't think there's anything you could unveil against Trump that, whether true or false or somewhere in the middle, that's going to hurt him. So I think all you have left are really, really dirty tricks of some other sort. And, you know, they weren't really able to destroy J.D. Vance either. I mean, they tried. Yeah. And as soon as he got out there on the debate stage and did a great job, that ended.
Yeah,
you can't go after him anymore because he showed that he was a good guy and everybody saw that. And that's the impression's been made. So but something is going to cook between now and Election Day. In fact, it's going to be a roller coaster, Jeff, between now and then. There is no way this will be quiet. They will not let this pass quietly.
You know, here's one of the weird things. And I want to remind everybody that Brian Maloney is joining us, the media equalizer. Nobody better.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Than Brian, I saw a Democrat post, and they were talking, and they're very concerned, and I'm glad to see that, but they were saying,
yeah,
my gosh, her campaign for president is following exactly the same trajectory as her primary campaign running against Joe Biden and the rest of the guy. You know, early excitement. Oh my gosh, she's a woman. She's a woman of color.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. And it goes up. And then every time she opens her mouth, she loses a point here, a point there, a point there.
Well,
these are all self-inflicted wounds with her.
Well, they really are. And remember, she dropped out before the Iowa caucuses and before the primary vote occurred in California, which is her home state. You know, she was going to come in a distant fourth or fifth in her home state, where she was, by the way, the U.S. senator from that state at the time. And by the way, on that note, I can't wait to see if Trump pulls off Minnesota. That would be hysterically funny with Waltz as the VP. That would be so, you know, it's like a 5-point, that's a tough one. They haven't gone Republican in 30 years at least. I mean, I think since Reagan, it's been a really long time. But that would be hysterically funny. We've got a lot of just these variables going on right now. But her campaign is a disaster because there's really no focus there at all. Yeah. And as you say, every time she opens her mouth, she's just so unlikable. And they complain about Trump, you know, Trump. But, I mean, you point the finger back at them.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is nuts. I can't believe we're in this situation.
Well, you know, you mentioned Minnesota. I got news for you. If there's anybody that can help Minnesota rediscover their inner Walter Mondale, it's Tim Walz. and that would be priceless. God, I would love to see that. Tell me why Donald Trump, who we're told he doesn't stand a chance of winning New York or California, man, he's doing rallies there. Why is that?
Well, that's a really interesting thing, and I've been thinking a lot about it. I mean, you saw that he has rented Madison Square Garden, and he's still at a rally in Madison Square Garden in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. I was laughing. I can't imagine a Republican having the nerve to do that because, you know, there'll be 10,000 protesters outside, all of those Manhattan, you know, rich elitists or whatever. And if they do emerge from their, you know, $7 million apartments or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it takes guts, but I think he'll get a huge crowd there. I think part of this is that he wants to win every state. Even states that are impossible to win. But I think New York, you know, that's his home state.
That's right.
So I think it's personal for him because he is not going to win New York. He's not. I mean, barring some miracle beyond anything you and I can imagine here, he will not win New York. But what he could do that is critically important in New York, and that is help us win 4 or 5 congressional races in New York State, where they're neck and neck, you know, like especially on Long Island, but even in upstate New York, where we can't control the House. unless we win those New York House races. So I think, I'm hoping that's what he's doing, but the Madison Square Garden one is just like, and it also sends the message, just like, I'm so confident in how I'm doing in the swing states that I'm going to start going to the deep blue states. I think that's kind of, you know, if he tries to do a rally in Massachusetts, then you know he's really, I mean, that would be hysterical. That would be so funny. I wish he would do it, but that's just too nasty, I think. That's just too much.
Yeah, that would be too much, but I don't know. Donald Trump headlining the Garden, man, that would be absolutely...
It's right in the middle of Manhattan. I mean, you know, he probably is going to get 10% of the vote in Manhattan, yeah. You know, maybe 15 on a good day. I mean, yep. You know, so that, to me, I think what he's saying is, I'm not afraid to go into enemy territory and say to your face, you know, this is what we need to do. And Manhattan, you know, New York City is a disaster these days. Absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the train at Penn Station a couple days ago, and, you know, our train was delayed for an hour because this guy started kicking in the windows and the door. He broke the door and a couple windows. This happened in front of me. It was right there. This guy just starts screaming, and, you know, this wasn't even the subway. This was the Amtrak. I mean, it's just, and these poor conductors, they were going crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
That's what we've got.
It's crazy stuff. Brian, I'm like way over time, but it's all right. You remind everybody where they can follow you on social media, because you got stuff they have to see.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I appreciate that very much, Jeff. So it's facebook.com/mediaequalizer. One word, Media Equalizer on Facebook.
I love it. Well, thank you, my friend. We will talk again soon. That is Brian Maloney, 519, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.